Hello, hello, hello. What's going on, Bridgeway? To all of you, Bridgeway here in Columbia, Bridgeway online, and Bridgeway at Owings Mills, I love you, and I'm grateful to have this opportunity to share God's word with you all. Dr. Anderson, again, I want to say thank you for being my pastor, a great leader and a friend. I have become a better person thanks to your example. Thank you for welcoming me into your team and entrusting me to teach such an incredible group of people. Amen. I'm pretty sure you guys know there is an echo that I hear, but we'll leave it for you guys to work it out. Church, today I have an assignment. God and our pastor tasked me with the mission of delivering a message on God's precious calling, or what does it mean to be preciously called by God. As I prepared for this message, I was reminded of my own spiritual journey. And I remembered, I was reminded of how I have struggled for the last 30 plus years to embrace this calling. I wish I could tell you I just woke up one day and I felt called. It hasn't been that way. In fact, if I'm going to be honest, I could give you more reasons of why I shouldn't be called than why I should be called. I struggled with this my whole life. I've never have been able to feel comfortable in what God has done in my life. I'm thankful, obviously, and appreciate every second of it, but it's always been awkward for me. It's always been a challenging thing about me. Like, I got too many tattoos or too much swag or too much of an attitude or whatever it is. I can give you a lot of reasons why not me. I was joking with Dr. Anderson the other day. I said, Doc, I got one more tattoo I got to put on. I'm going to put the Bridgeway logo in my neck. You know, I always tell everyone that I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up with a church family. I didn't grow up with people kind of teaching me the church culture and the religious traditions or the behaviors. In fact, to be honest with you, sometimes I feel a little bit misplaced even here. Not because you guys haven't showed me love and not because Dr. Anderson hasn't showed me love. It's my own issues that often feels less than. Well, this is what I went to the Word to talk about this. And I found a scripture that can really describe kind of me, my position in a nutshell. And I want to share that with you. May I share it? Thank you. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 29, only because you asked me to share it with you. When you have it, say, I got it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. Well, why don't we say in Spanish, Gloria a Dios. You too right there online, say Gloria a Dios. Now you're talking the heavenly language. Omar, I haven't forgotten about you, you too. It says the following. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you was a noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. But God chose Eli to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not. It means it's not even existing yet. To nullify the things that are so that no one may boast before him. God chose the foolish things of the world. I was sharing this week during my Wednesday Night Alive class that I'm teaching on the Holy Spirit that I was a nobody when the Lord called me. I was a convict. I had no education. I had dropped out of sixth grade. I was an addict. I came from a broken family. I was a product of the system. I was young and immature. I was full of hatred and anger in my heart, and I wasn't even looking for him. That's the interesting thing apart of this whole story. I didn't go to church because I wanted to look for Jesus. I wasn't looking for the Lord. The Lord went out looking for me. Yeah, he went into that prison cell and he found me. I had nothing to offer him, or I had nothing to offer the kingdom of God, but that's not what he saw. He knew something about me that I didn't know about myself. He saw something in me that I wasn't even aware of. And since then, I have walked in complete gratitude and humbleness because he chose me. If I'm going to be honest, I wouldn't even chosen myself. He saw something in me that was worth calling, and I'm not even still sure what it is, but what I know is he still sees it. He will continue to see it, and he has saw it already, and God is saying, I am going to do something with this broken vessel. That's why it says that we have our treasures in jars of clay. We are easily broken. We are fragile. The truth of the matter is none of us have anything to offer God or the kingdom of God. I am forever grateful and indebted to him that he chose to transform me and make me a better person. I'm sharing this because before God called me, I had a distorted vision about who I was supposed to be. You know, I grew up in the hood. I never left my block. Anytime I left my block was to go do a stick up or to go do something that I wasn't supposed to do. I had to go outside of my, oh, some of y'all got scared right now, don't worry. I just felt the tension in the room. Woo! The devil is a liar. You'll be all right, we got security. But God completely revolutionized my thinking. I thought I was going to be a drug addict, a sticker kid, a convict the rest of my life. I dropped out of school and I didn't even know I could go to school. I remember when my youth pastor took me to Roxbury Community College. Every time I did my GED, took me forever to get it. Finally, he said, all right, now let's go enroll you in college. And on the same day, I was enrolled. And I was like, that's all it took? I couldn't understand how I put all these limitations on myself when all it took was somebody to grab me by my hand, take me and taught me how to fill out an application and do a financial aid form. And I share that with you because since then to just recently when I finished my master's degree, you see this, right? Since then, till I finished my master's degree, I've been a 4.0. Come on, somebody. After a while, I stopped celebrating that I kept getting into the dean's list and the president's list because it felt normal. It felt like that's what I'm supposed to do. God chose the foolish things of the world. God chose the things that are not to perplex the wise. And I'm telling you this today because many of you keep making excuses for why you should not fulfill the purpose and the assignment that God has in your life. And God is saying, stop looking at that foolishness. Stop looking at that mess because what you see is not what I see. Come on, give God some praise. February 10, 1991 is the day that I accepted Jesus. February 12, 1991 is the first sermon I ever preached. 2 days later, I always joke around and I say it was pure heresy because I had no scripture. I didn't know any theology. I didn't know any Bible. I didn't know any scripture. But what I did know was that God had changed my life. Since then, I have traveled the world preaching the gospel. I don't even know what country I've been to anymore. I look at the map, I'm like, I think. I used to collect magnets, but then my refrigerator started looking pretty crazy. So I got that rid of that. I'm an author. I've written books. Now, many of y'all don't know, but, you know, a little something, something. I'm a leader. I'm a fantastic husband, if I say so myself. I've been a mentor to hundreds of individuals. I have had the privilege of leading thousands to Christ. I'm a man of prayer. Every day, 3 to 3:30 in the morning, I'm praying for you. And the most beautiful thing, well, I don't know about the most, but something amazing as this is that I have the honor of pastoring one of the best churches in the country. Come on, somebody. Thank God that he doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. According to my human reality, I should not be doing what I am doing. If I'm going to be honest, I shouldn't even be a believer. I would have been happy. I would have been a success just being a benchwarming Christian. That in itself would have been success. But God said, nope, 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 nope. I got so much more. No eyes have seen, no ears have heard. I got so much more that I want to do. And God is telling you, I got so much more that I want to do. Why do you keep limiting yourselves? If you think that church is really about coming on Sundays and going through the ritualistic experience, then you're completely off track of what God's assignment is for your life. God could care less if you go to a church building. Don't get me wrong, Bridgeway cares. But God could care less because he knows it's not about the chairs. God is looking at what are you doing from the moment you wake up till you go to sleep with the assignment that I have placed in your heart and in your life. What are you doing with every second of your life to fulfill the calling that I have placed inside of you? What are you doing to be an example and to have an answer for the faith that I have deposited inside of you? Sometimes instead of being a solution, we are part of the problem. And God is saying, I'm tired of looking at people to be problems when I've called you to be a solution. When God calls us, this is the point number one. That was my intro. When God calls you, he doesn't look at your present situation, but rather looks at your purpose and destiny. What you see is Eli. What I see is broken Eli. But what God sees is somebody on a mission. What God sees is somebody who is grateful. What God sees is somebody who is humble, even though sometimes I may not act like it. But the truth of the matter is, all glory, all honor, all power, everything belongs to him. I am alive. I wake up every single morning grateful and honored because the truth of the matter, I shouldn't even have breath in my lungs. If the wages of sin is dead, I should have been dead a long time ago. But God, in his
divine purpose and his divine assignment. He sees you who is broken. He sees you in your foolishness. He sees you in all your confusion. He sees you in your broken heart. He sees you every time you get stubborn. He sees you every time you make a mistake. He sees you every time you put the foot in your mouth, and he polishes you and he cleans you and he plucks things out of you, and he continues to show you love, and he continues to show you mercy, and he continues to show you grace, and he continues to pour inside of you. Why? Because what God has for you is greater than you can even imagine. Thank God he didn't see my present condition. Listen to this. Samuel was sleeping when God called him. David was out in the field tending to sheep and wasn't even considered by his father when he was called. Moses was a fugitive tending to sheep, and he had a stuttering problem, and he was in the wilderness when God called him. Saul was persecuting people, Christians, on his way to Damascus. The prophet Ezekiel saw a valley of dry bones before they stood on their feet as a vast army. Jesus called Simon to purpose and destiny despite of his betrayal. Remember that story in Matthew when Jesus says, who do they say I am? And they keep going down the list. Well, some say you are a master. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're a teacher. He goes on. He tells Simon, well, who do you say I am? And Simon says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, because this was revealed to you not by man but by God. Remember that story? And then Jesus says these words, Simon, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, Petra. He changed his name, his identity, right there on the spot. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Do you know what Jesus is telling him? You're going to step into my shoes. Not as the God, but as the next leader of all of this. And if you know that, if you read the scripture, you realize that approximately 8 to 10 chapters later, Peter betrays Jesus. Now, do you think that Jesus didn't know that Peter was going to betray him? He's all knowing. Absolutely not. He knew everything that was going to happen. But he saw something in Peter greater than the betrayal. He says, it's going to have to take a betrayal, I guess, because Peter's going to have to put his foot in his mouth again. And sometimes he sees you and he says, I see you. Again. And again. And let's try it one more time. And again. He says, but what I have for you is bigger than your present situation. God said to Isaiah in 46 verse 9, it says, I am God, there is none like me. And then he says these beautiful words, declaring the end from the beginning. You know what he's saying? He says, when I look at you, I start from the end and work backwards. That's what he's saying. What you see is the present and walk forward. What God says, I start from the end and then work backwards. In other words, he's reverse engineering your life, fixing things along the way, changing things about you along the way, allowing certain experiences and certain brokenness, certain hardships to happen in your life so that he can continue to polish you and make you who he has to be, who he has you to be. He says, I call the end since the beginning. I'm at you. I'm working on you. I'm orchestrating every situation of your life. Can we thank God for that? Because some people don't give other people opportunities. I always joke around, when God chose me, I wasn't Pastor Eli. Nowhere close to it. It took me years for me to even become Christian Eli. And even then, that was debatable. I had the faith, I had the acceptance of Christ, but to become part of this character, to become part of this person, that I had some level of self. As a matter of fact, if I'm going to be honest, I'm still going through it. God is still working in me. God is still changing me. God is still purifying me. God is still washing my brains. And sometimes I feel like he's just scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing. The other day I woke up and I smelled like bleach. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I always joke around. When I was baptized, I got baptized twice. One in a prison cell in Puerto Rico. You know those toilets that have like a little sink in the back? Have you seen them on TV? You sit on there. I don't want to give you the imagery. But you sit and you throw your head back and they sprinkle some water on me. That was my very first the moment I got baptized. And by the way, it was another inmate that baptized me. Then I got baptized in Aguadilla, Puerto Rico, in the beach. That was a beautiful day. And guess what happens the next day? In that same beach, a whale is dead, is in the shore dead. And all my boys were saying, man, those were some strong demons that came out of you. I'm telling you, number two, God calls many to ministry and leadership, yet the ultimate calling is really to surrender and serve. We get stuck on sometimes, we just, well, maybe God is calling me to ministry. Maybe. But until that is discovered, until that is figured out, you can start serving now. You can start doing for the Lord now. There's a whole bunch of things that I've learned about Scripture just in preparing this message. Number one, we're called to repent of our sins and surrender to the voice of God. Maybe God is calling you to repent. Maybe God is saying, you know, there are things about you that I've been putting in your heart that you need to confess and repent, and you haven't. And I'm calling you for that. Embrace it. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of some of your sins. Is that what it says? What does it say? All of your sins. We're called to serve others and care for others. We are called to be saints. We are called to freedom and liberty. We are called for ministry and leadership. We are called to be witnesses of the gospel. And the list goes on. I just didn't want to keep going and keep going because he just kept going, the list. But see, sometimes we think that it's just God is calling me to do ministry. And yes, that could be true. But you can start with just being a true, authentic believer of Christ. You can start with serving other people for the kingdom of God. You can start by being freed and called into liberty. You can start by surrendering yourself to the voice of the Spirit. This is what Paul tells the church of Rome in verse 12. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us, to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. God is calling you. That's not a question. That's not debatable. God is calling each and every one of you to serve him, to do for him, to live for him, to be an example, to be an ambassador of Christ, to be a servant of the Lord, to just be a representation of him here on earth. God is calling you. So the Bible says that for some, we are the only walking epistles. In other words, you are the only Bible that other people are going to see. God is calling you. So what do I embrace, God? How do I do this? How do I surrender? How do I know that God is calling me? I always say this in Teen Challenge. So I grew up, I'm a Teen Challenge product. If those of you who don't know what Teen Challenge is a Christian drug rehabilitation program. I went through it. The program usually takes about 10 months. It took me 2 years to graduate because I was stubborn. I was a knucklehead, and I kept getting extensions. But thank God. And one thing about Teen Challenge is they teach you from the very beginning that being a Christian is to serve. Being a Christian is to do. Being a Christian is to work for the Lord, right? So people always ask me, when do you know that you was called? And I always tell people, I didn't know. And in fact, if I'm going to be honest, I still don't know, because it's never been like I heard a voice in audible voice that says, Eloi, you are called. Guess what I did? I just served the Lord. I did for the Lord. I prayed. I worshiped. I started feeding the homeless. I started going into prison ministry. I started giving my testimony. I joined a skit ministry, and I started doing theatrical skits. I started giving my testimonies again. I started passing out Bible tracts. I started, because that was back in those days, you know, you pass out Bible tracts, right? I started just living my faith. Living my faith, and people started acknowledging and seeing that there was something inside of me that was different than the average person. I, to this day, again, I tell you, I haven't heard anything that tells me, Eli, you're supposed to be a pastor. But what I am is I'm supposed to serve the Lord. And as I serve the Lord, and as I'm faithful to the Lord, and as I'm faithful in my walk, and as I begin to obey his word and begin to understand his assignment and begin to listen to the voice of the Spirit, things begin to fall in place. I started to get to preach. I preached the first time, and I was like, oh, snap, I could do this? And then they invited me again, and then they gave me an offering. I didn't know how to act. I was like, oh, what? You get paid for this? Come on, somebody. Next thing you know, it's been 30 years. I've been ordained under the Baptist. I've been ordained Pentecostal. I've been ordained Evangelical Covenant. I've been ordained non-denominational. I have more ordinations than degrees. Why? Because people see something. There's a calling. There's an anointing. There is something that separates him. And there's something that is separating you. You shouldn't be like everybody else. You should stand out and be different. So, time is ticking down. So, what are some signs that you are called by God? Number one, sorry, they're not in this order. And there might be a lot more than these, by the way. There will be a lot more than these because everybody has their uniqueness, experience. But what I find out is that you don't find what you seek. In other words, you feel unfulfillment, dissatisfied, misplaced. Your spirit feels uncomfortable. It's almost like you're missing part of the puzzle. You try different things and you still feel out of place. Unsatisfied. You go to work and you feel, is this it? Is this all I'm supposed to do? Am I supposed to just go to work and go home and go to the bathroom and repeat? There's something inside of you that's saying there's more. There's more. I got something else inside of you. Number two, having a persistent thought or pressing in your spirit. Maybe the fact that you're thinking, maybe God is calling me, could be that God is calling you. This could be especially true when it comes from nowhere. I always say, like, I was a non-Christian and non-church-cultured individual. But yet there was something inside of me that kept saying more, give more, serve more, do for the Lord more, surrender more, sacrifice more, be faithful, surrender to the word of God. You know, something that was inside of me that kept pushing me to dive deeper for the Lord. And maybe God is tugging at your heart and he's saying, there's so much more that I want to do. And you keep ignoring these voices. Number three, there could be a manifestation of spiritual gift. They run effortlessly and naturally through you. Your natural talent and spiritual gift may show you what God is calling you to do. So I always say I'm an evangelist. I'm a pastor, but I operate under the evangelist umbrella. That's kind of my bread and butter. I always share I'm not that good at pastoral care. Please pray for me. You know, I love people. I care for people and things like that. But there are some things that I'm good at, and there are some things that I'm not. My bread and butter is put me around any unbeliever. That's where I shine. You should see. I was one time at a restaurant, sitting in a bar, praying and laying hands on people. No, let me tell you. No, I really sat in that bar that day because there was no seats and they sat me there with my buddy. And I remember that I sat next to some dudes here and some people, you sit next to people. And I start, you know, just eating and hanging and chilling with some people. And then suddenly I start moving and today I would call it prophetic. Back then I didn't know that's what that was, right? I start talking to this person and this person says, how do you know? And I was like, how do I know what? He says, how do you know this about my life? I said, I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just sharing. And he says, prove it to me and I will surrender to the Lord right now. And I was like, how do I prove this? So the only thing I could do was go into my wallet and I had my ordination license on me. So I took it out and pow, threw it on the table like a credit card. I got this. And then the guy went into his wallet and he pulled out his ordination. And he was I'm not going to shame the religion. He was just a backsliding minister. Let's say it that way. Who was being completely rebellious and unfaithful to God. And on that day, he reconciled and surrendered his life to the Lord. Another time, I was single at that time, so let me make sure I clarify that. And I was traveling, and I was in a hotel, and I met this beautiful young lady. And so I was like, hey, well, praise the Lord. I didn't say it like that. I said, hey, you want to go out for some coffee or something? Could we kick it for a little bit? She was like, let's do this. So I said, what time you get out of work? She told me, so we met out afterwards, right in the lobby coffee shop. And when we're in the lobby coffee shop, I start just kicking it with her. I was dropping game. In my mind, I was just dropping some good stuff. And you know what she turned around and said to me? Are you a minister or something like that? I was like, how do you know? I was ministering to her and I didn't even know it. What is it? It's because there is something, and I can tell you the list goes on. I was with my buddy Juan. Juan is my witness. We were doing a patio crawl, praying for people in different patios. Just hanging out in Baltimore. They have a patio crawl. You go from patio to patio, and Juan had the Puerto Rican theme in his patio. And he says, we need a Puerto Rican, a random Puerto Rican that doesn't bring anything so that we can be the true Puerto Rican theme. So I was like, I'll be it. So I show up. I didn't bring nothing, not even a bottle of water. I just showed up and I was like, I'm that Puerto Rican, right? Not all of us are like that. That was just the theme that we were playing with, okay? Invite me to your house. You see, I'll bring some good stuff. And we were chilling then, and I tell Juan, this is my day off. We're just chilling. We're cool, right? We're just chilling. Don't tell anybody I'm a pastor. None of that stuff. We're just hanging. I want to be human today. Could we do that? He was like, bet. So we kept going from different patios who had different themes. This is where he used to live. Different themes, different themes, different themes. And we finally, we're at the very end. And by the time I get to the very last patio crawl, this is in the Canton area of Baltimore, I'm against the wall like this. And people are around me completely, surrounding me, telling me to tell them about Jesus. Am I right, Juan? And I remember telling Juan, I said, Juan, you see this, right? You see this with your own eyes. I didn't say nothing. They're asking me to tell them about Jesus. Why? That's my forte. That's where I flow. That's where I hang. That's the anointing that I operate under. You follow me? And each one of you may have different types of experiences and different types of scenarios and different types of anointing to give you a Sunday school word. Others, number four, see something in you that you don't see in yourself. You have no clue how many times people prophesy to me. And I was like, for real? God sees something, and God will send people to your life. Number five, it could be a spiritual burden. You know, you have a heart for somebody, for a particular audience, for a particular region, or for a particular type of something. And it's something that you just can't get out of your mind, something you can't get out of your heart, something you can't get out of your spirit. It's just, it's inside there. It's heavy in you. And you can go to work and you can't shut that off. You could take care of your kids and you can't shut that off. It continues to resonate in your soul and in your spirit. If any of those five things are happening in your life, there's a good chance you could be being called by God. This is the issue. Our human limitations keep playing with us. And this is what the word says, teaches us. If you live like Abraham, God is willing to call you his friend. If you cheated people like Zacchaeus, he will befriend you in front of your enemies. If you have left home and blown your money like the prodigal son, he waits for you with open arms. If you have been despised like the Samaritan woman, he will sit down and talk to you. If you have been caught in adultery like David and many others, he will forgive you in front of your accusers and direct you on the paths of righteousness. If you deny him like Peter, he will give you a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth chance. If you are unclean, he will touch you. If you are in prison, he will set you free. If you are hungry, he would feed you. If you're the only one lost out of 100, he will leave them to find you. When Jesus came into this world, he embodied God's heart for you, which was, I will go to any length possible to call and have a relationship with you. God is saying, don't let all your human excuses get in the way of God's divine assignment for your life. He's bigger. He's greater. He's more significant. He's more powerful. Amen? Amen. Give God a praise. I got 3 minutes. Not according to the clock, but according to my notes. So here's a practical application that I wanted to share with you, because stop wondering and start paying attention. Maybe, God, maybe. Maybe. Just pay attention. If you listen to the voice of the Spirit will talk. Problem is, we're too scattered. We're all over the place, and he keeps talking, but we're not listening. Just stop. Drop and roll. That's one practical application. Two, humble yourself. And try different things. And the reason I say humble yourself is just because you are an executive in your professional world does not mean that you'll be an executive in the kingdom of God. Sometimes picking up the chairs are a good sign of somebody who wants to be called for the Lord.
Sometimes cleaning the bathrooms is a good sign. Sometimes serving in the parking lot ministry is, by the way, that you guys know that whenever you go walk out of here, give the parking lot crew some love. Many of you do not know this, but they're the ones that get it worse. People stick their middle fingers at them. People swear at them. You should hear the stuff that church people do. Not in this church. Okay. But maybe serve in the parking lot. You know, sometimes it's raining and they're out there. Sometimes it's cold and they're out there. They're putting out the signs before you even show up to church. Show them some love. And not only that, maybe serve. And see, maybe God wants me to serve there. Here we go. Pay attention to unusual desires. There's something that's being birthed inside of you. Number four, pray for guidance and direction. Lord, what do you want me to do? Number five, obey the voice of the Spirit. And lastly, take our shape class on May 6th. They will help you, teach you, guide you. At least, even if you don't get all the answers, at least they may throw seeds in you. And you know what they say? That the flowers of tomorrow starts out with the seeds of today. I'm a poet and you didn't even know it. Amen. Let me pray for you. Dr. Anderson, to Omar, thank you so much for listening. Now I'm going to hand this over to our dear pastor, Pastor Anderson, who is hosting in Owens Mills. May God give you a special anointing to love and care for God's people. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your love, for your faithfulness, for your power, and for your call. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen and amen.
Who is